Listen, before I get started, today is an extremely symbolic day for me. Back in March 31st of 2002, it was an Easter Sunday. And my wife and I, we were not in the greatest of spots in our life. And she asked me to go to church. Actually, she may have even commanded me to go to church. You're going to church, doggone it. We're going to fix this. So I showed up on an Easter morning, and Brother Bob and Sister Donna was our pastors back then, and I give my heart to God on that day. Today, it's only happened one other time since then that Easter fell on March 31st. And so whenever Pastor Jeff had asked me to take over as pastor, and he said, listen, here's what we'll do. We'll plan your first service for March 31st of 2024 on Easter Sunday. So I go home and I'm telling Jessica, I'm like, hey, this is going to be the first service. And she says, do you know what that is? Do you know what day that you got saved? I got to looking back and I said, Easter Sunday, March 2nd, or 2002, March 31st of that year on Easter Sunday. So since then, I've had some amazing pastors in my life. So if y'all would stand up, Pastor Temple and Brother Bob and Sister Donna and my good buddy and Jeff, my mentor. Listen, you guys give it up to them, would you please? This guy and these pastors have been such a huge part of my life, and I appreciate that. And doors have been open that wouldn't have otherwise been open. And so I want you guys to love on them today. It's an honor and a pleasure for you to be up here with me.
Thanks, I love you, brother.
Y'all give it up to Pastor Jeff, would you please? I don't know if you noticed, but I got up a while ago and I walked over to that tissue box because it's been an emotional morning for me already. God has been wrecking me. I have my family here, which is such an honor and a pleasure. So anyway, bear with me. I'll try to get through this without too much snorting in the microphone and what have you. But I got this other issue, though. Brother Bob, back when you were preaching, used to we would take our gum out of our mouth and stick it to the bottom of the pew. I'm kind of at a loss of what to do with this gum in my mouth because I don't know if I can make it through it without spitting it at you. But I think I'd be frowned on if I stuck it under the... What would you have done with your gum? Listen, today's message is the value in the scars. There is value in your scars. So when I was a kid, I wasn't a kid, I was a young adult. We go to the lake a lot, and our family loads up and goes to the lake. My dad had wanted to borrow my tractor. And so I'd went to the store and I'd bought these. I was going to buy new blades for the brush hog and put it on it. And something inside me told me, don't put the blades on it. So I took the tractor to him, and the blades that were on it were very dull, but I let him use it, and we leave. And that day, me and my mom and my wife and my family was at the lake, and we get this phone call, and it's my dad and my mom. If you don't know my mom, it doesn't take much to get her excited, and she's like, Johnny, what did you do? And I'm like, Mom, what's going on? So it just so happened that my dad, while he was driving this tractor, had passed out, fell off the tractor. Tractor had run over him, and it had chopped his boots up and actually cut off the back of his calf. So we get to the hospital. We travel there. We get to the hospital, and when we go in, the nurses are there, and he's laying in the bed. He's in good spirits, and it was really a miraculous thing that happened that we left the dull blades on there. But as they're irrigating his wound on the back of his leg, it's like this massive wound right on the back of his leg, and I can still remember seeing his calf muscle. And there was this artery sticking out of his leg, and it was throbbing. Well, as I'm sitting there looking at it, I'm thinking, my God, how are they going to fix this? Because it's like it's this huge piece of flesh that's hanging off of the back of his leg. Well, fast forward years later, that huge wound is now a small scar, right? And occasionally we'll be sitting around, and my dad, he'll pull his pants leg up and he'll say, you see, oh, y'all see my socks? Isn't that cool? He'll pull his pants leg up and he'll say, you see that scar right there? And he'll tell the story of that wound. But here's what's exciting. That wound, something that could have been life-threatening, was healed, Right? That thing, there was a power inside him that God put inside him, that wound is now healed, and all that is left is a scar, and that scar has a story associated with it. So today we're going to talk about the value in the scars. Listen, scars are a visual sign of healing from a traumatic event. Scars bring hope that healing can happen. I'm just telling you, when I looked at his leg, I thought there's no way that this wound will ever close up. Scars are universal no matter the race, the gender, the financial status, or deity. Others will believe because of your scars. This is something that you will share, not just with us here on earth, but it's an attribute that you share with your Father. Scars authenticate your compassion and God's grace and mercy. See, Jesus' scars authenticate His compassion on your life. Jesus' scars authenticate His grace and His mercy on your life. And guess what, church? Your scars, if you use them the way that God wants you to use them, will authenticate not only your compassion for somebody else, but authenticate God's grace and mercy in their life. Listen, every scar tells a different story. Listen, some scars are physical, like my dad's. Some scars are emotional, and some scars are spiritual. And Jesus went through every one of those. Listen, many of us here can relate on some level to the experiences that Jesus had on that cross. See, Jesus was betrayed by somebody that He absolutely loved, somebody that He spent a lot of time with. And when Judas betrayed Him, I'm just telling you, there was an emotional scar that took place in Jesus' life. Listen, I don't know if you're in here today, but you've been betrayed by somebody in your life. Listen, I can point you to somebody with a scar that has the same story as you. Listen, He was abandoned by those closest to Him. Listen, maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor John, listen, I've had times in my life where my mom and my dad, they disowned me and they promised me that they would be there. Or my pastor swore that he would be there for me and he turned around and abandoned me when I needed him the most. See, I just heard a story this last week. Somebody in my office told me, said, John, there was a girl that we were helping in another country. And she was in this program, and they had her in the program, and she got pregnant, and we went over there to see her, and they had kicked her out of the program, and he said, John, listen, if she ever needed the help of that program, it was that time right there. They abandoned her in the time of need. Listen, his body was devalued and sold for a few pieces of silver. See, there was a girl at the skating rink that when we were doing this ministry that had come up to me and asked me some questions about sin. And she told me, she said, Pastor John, I know it's a sin that I'm in. But my father used to sell me to men every day. He was a drug dealer, and so I've been through all these things, and so that's why I'm in this predicament that I'm in. Listen, her body was devalued whenever her father sold her, and Jesus' body was devalued when he was sold for a few pieces of silver. Listen, those put in a place to protect the innocent failed him. See, Jesus was, Herod and Pilate both said multiple times, at least three times, he's innocent, he doesn't deserve the death that you're wanting to give him. And all they could say is, crucify him. And instead of protecting him, they turned him over to him. See, I've been in a courtroom with somebody that said, I'm telling you the truth, this person abused me. And it seemed like the justice system turned their back on them. Jesus has experienced that scar. Listen, maybe you're in here today and you've been physically abused by somebody that you in your life, Jesus has also experienced that scar. Listen, but here's what's amazing about the Christ that I serve. See, all these scars that our Savior carries, he did on his own account. See, nobody made him. The Bible says that he was like a sheep that was led to slaughter. He didn't even open his mouth. And every scar that he carries for you. Listen, Isaiah 53:5 says this. It says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the punishment for our peace was upon him. Church, listen to this. And by his stripes, we are healed. You guys can give it up to God. Come on. Listen, Jesus died on that cross and was placed in that tomb not because of his own sins, but because of our sins, because of my sins. Listen, thank God that story didn't end there, right? Listen, in Luke 24, it says this. It says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Come on, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. But they were wondering about this. Suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. And in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here, but he is risen. Listen, guys, we serve a God that is risen today. Listen, can you imagine the sheer panic that was on Satan's face? Right? For 3 days, he thought he won. For 3 days, they were celebrating in hell. We've defeated the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But on that third day, can you imagine what was going through their mind when the Spirit of God re-entered that body that was laying there cold on that rock? Huh? When he was sitting there, I can imagine in my imagination that first breath that filled his lungs. Right? That body was stiff, and all of a sudden it started to move and flexibility started coming back in the fingers. And those toes begin to wiggle. And when that body rose up off of that rock and he sat on the edge of it and he pulled off those clothes that were blood stained and he laid them aside and he looked down and those wounds began to knit themselves back together. Right? That's the power of God that not only lives in him, but that's the power of God that he left in you. Listen, you're here today and you've got wounds in your life. I've got them in mine. Listen, there's been things that I've went through in my life. Sadly, many of the wounds that I carry I've caused on my own, and so have you. But there's also wounds that I didn't deserve. Right? And some of those wounds we look at and we continue to mull them over in our mind. But listen, sometimes it seems like we can't get over them. But when the Spirit of God enters that mortal body of yours and he starts to do things on the inside to heal those wounds. Church, listen to me. God doesn't heal you so that you can sit on your couch or in this church and not do something with it. But God heals you so that you can take those wounds and go out there and bring life and light and hope to the hopeless. Listen, immediately after Christ's healing, when that life re-entered that mortal body, he got up and he began to use his scars to bring hope. Listen, in John 20, 19 through 21, it says this. It says, on the evening of the first day of the week when the disciples were together, with the doors locked from fear of the Jewish leaders. Listen, these people are standing in this room. They had just seen the most horrific thing you could ever imagine. Their king, their Lord of Lords, was just destroyed on that cross. They're scared to death. They got the doors locked for fear that the Jewish leaders were going to come in and do the same to them. Jesus walks into that room and he says this. He says, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." Church, listen to me. No matter what you're going through today, peace be with you. And it said that immediately after Jesus spoke peace into that room, he began to show his hands and his side. Jesus began to show the healing that took place in that tomb when hell thought that he had him defeated. And God come in and defeated the enemy. Listen, it says, Jesus come and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Listen, can y'all see that? They were in complete and total fear. And Jesus shows them his hands and they were overjoyed because they seen the Lord. Listen, and again Jesus said this, "Peace be with you." But listen, this is where the story turns from Christ's story to your story. It says, "As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." Listen, church, I want y'all to repeat after me. It says, "As the Father," come on, y'all repeat it. "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Again, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Listen, church, your scars will authenticate your compassion and His mercy. It's been probably 2 weeks ago, Jessica come into the room, and there's been these moments, Pastor Jeff, of sheer panic. Right, as I'm sitting there, and I think I'm super confident that this is what God's called me to do. I've had people prophesy over me. It's written in my mama's Bible. This is what God has for us. God told me 2 months ago that this is what's going to happen. We've had people come to us and say, "John, God told us that this was going to happen." But then you're sitting there in all this confidence, and me and Pastor Jeff had talked about this, and instantly it's like, "Oh my goodness, what am I doing?" And so me and Jessica, we would have these moments of excitement. And then all of a sudden, y'all forgive me, I'm going to take my gum out of my mouth. God, I can see the spit. I don't know if y'all can. Yeah. You can? Yeah. So we have these moments of excitement. And then all of a sudden, it's a sheer panic. And so she comes in and she's like, "John, are you sure we can do this? Are you sure because the things that we've been through and the things that's happened in our family and the things that we're going through, are you sure that we can do this?" In church, I was sitting at the end of our bed. We have this bench. And I'm sitting on this bench. And about two or three years ago, I bought my wife this electric fireplace. It's got this beautiful white mantle on it sitting in our living room. And she wanted to be able to see the flame from laying on the bed. But whenever we laid on the bed, you couldn't see it. From where our perspective was, the flame was down below the bed and we couldn't see it. So she was gone one time and I decided that I was going to build this box and place it up against the wall and put this fireplace on it. See, this box that I built in our house, we've got all this reclaimed wood, right? That's been taken out of these train cars. Most expensive wood in my house, by the way. It's very pricey. And we've got it on our ceilings, and I built a TV stand in the living room, and I set it there. And I thought, you know what? I'll build that box out of this wood. And so I built it and I set it there. And so I'm sitting there and it's beautiful, right? I didn't do it. I didn't do anything. I didn't stain it. I didn't try to alter it. I didn't do anything to it. I just shot a clear coat on it and enhanced the natural beauty of the wood. So as I'm sitting there, I'm looking at this piece of wood and I'm asking God, I need you to show me something. I don't know if I am good enough to do this. I don't know if my family is good enough to do this. Matter of fact, God, we have so many scars and marks on our life. I don't even know why you would call me to do something like this. Surely you made a mistake. And as I sat on the end of that bed, I looked up, and this wood has this huge gouge in it, and I assume it's from a forklift. And I'm looking at it, and I told Jessica, I said, hey, come here real quick. I said, sit down here. I said, what do you see when you look at that wood? She said, I don't know, maybe all the scars and the divots and stuff in it, you know. And I felt like God showed me in that moment, John, you know what makes that piece of wood so valuable? See, it's not that that piece of wood is perfect. It's not that that piece of wood is even in its original condition. But the scars in that wood is what makes it valuable. See, I've got articles in my house that somebody tried to fake being reclaimed wood. Our table is this big table, and it's supposed to be reclaimed wood, but you can tell that it's fake. It's not the real thing. But when you look at that piece of wood underneath that fireplace, there's no doubt that's authentic. Church, let me tell you something. In this world, we have to be authentic. The things and the scars that are in your life is what make you so valuable, because it says that God in your weakness is where His strength comes from. Listen, because of your darkness, God's light can shine brighter than you can ever imagine. God wants to use you in this world. You say, Pastor John, that's all great, but listen to me. See, Jesus' scars, they were done because of my sins and because somebody else did something to Him. But what about me? There's things that I've done in my life that the scars that I've done have taken me so far. That do you think that God could really use me? Listen to this. Romans 11 says this. It says, again, I ask, did they stumble so as to fall beyond recovery? Listen to what he says. He says, not at all. Rather, because of their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make the Israelites envious. Listen, but if their transgressions mean riches for the world, and their loss means riches for the Gentiles, how much greater riches would full inclusion bring? Listen, I'm talking to the Gentiles inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles. I take pride in my ministry in hope that I may somehow arouse my own people to envy and save some of them. For if their rejection brought reconciliation to the world, what will their acceptance be but life from death? Listen to me, church. He took the Israelites and he said, listen, because you're not going to obey me, because you're going to have these scars and these wounds in your life, I'm going to use that and I'm going to save the Gentiles. But that's not the end of the story. He says, I'm going to take the Gentiles and I'm going to save you. See, it's this cycle. See, God dies on the cross and His wounds save you. You didn't deserve it. And He says, you know what? I want you to take your scars and I want you to go save them. Peter, he told Peter at the table, he said, listen, he said, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. They said, not me, God. I'll go with you to the death. You don't have to worry about me. I got your back. And here's what Jesus did. He prayed over them. He said, Peter, I have prayed for you, that when you turn back. See, it was indicating that Peter was going to fail. Peter was going to walk away from Him, and Peter was going to leave Him behind, and Peter didn't really have His back, but he said this, but when you turn back, Peter, I want you to use your scars. I put scars in there, but he said, Peter, when you turn back, I want you to strengthen your brothers. Listen, church, when Jesus died on the cross, He knew that you were going to walk away. He knew that I was going to walk away. But He said, John, I'm praying over you. John, I'm praying over you that when you turn back, when that day happens on March 2002, on Easter Sunday, when you give your heart to God and you turn back, John, I'm going to use you to strengthen your brothers. Listen, I'm here to tell you today that God wants to use you to strengthen your brothers and sisters. If you guys would, why don't you stand with me? Actually, stay seated for a second. If the worship team would come back, or Kaylin. Always got to throw a joke in there. That was an unplanned joke, by the way. Stand up, sit down. I want to read you one more scripture. Listen, sometimes when we're in a tough situation, we find somebody that can relate to us through the scars and through the things that they've been through in their life. Listen, Jesus is that for you every time. The only time I would say that, you know, like in my case, I'm like, God, I know you did all this amazing stuff for me, but how do you understand me because I did all this to you? I want to point you to another man with scars. In Luke 23, 39 through 42, it says this. It says, one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Are you the Messiah? He says. Save yourself and us. Listen, but the other criminal rebuked him. He said, don't you fear God? Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly. For we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Listen to what Jesus told this guy, somebody that didn't deserve it. And this is what Jesus is telling you today. He said, listen, this day I tell you the truth. I will see you in paradise. Now, if you would stand with me.